control. We have the digital doctor sidling up, and welcome to the microphone, Eddie.
Good evening, folks. Edward Josephs, your digital doctor here. Enough of these network nerds. I think we're all network nerds now, aren't we?
No. We're normal people, are we, Dunk? We just play games.
Well, we have blisters in places you'd never imagine.
Yeah. But some of us are network and techno nerds, I think. So, anyway, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to talk about tonight because there are so many things happening about Pentiums and prices and things like that. So I thought I'd lash out a little bit and talk about problems with computers and cards and all those sort of things and configuring them and getting back to basically grassroots of people having problems and trying to solve some of them.
Sounds good.
Yeah, maybe just this one time, and then we'll talk about chipsets and Pentiums again maybe next week. Okay. The sort of things that that have sprung to mind actually recently again is software programmable cards, which seem to be getting more and more and more popular, like the sound cards, the LAN cards, and everything else again. Now, they actually can create more problems even than the old jumpered cards. And I mean, people are sort of looking towards these software programmable cards as solving all your problems, a bit like plug and play. You stick them in, everything finds itself, and it's all hunky dory. Well, maybe, when it all works, as usual. When it doesn't work, life can get pretty miserable.
You get on that Microsoft tech support line and listen to those fantastic tunes.
And sit in the long queue. Okay, the sort of things actually that sprung to mind again to me. Yep.
Do you really think it's a big Microsoft problem if you're having hardware problems, Steve?
I wasn't having a hardware problem.
Right, you're having a software problem.
I was having a software disliking everything in my computer's box type problem. Just hated everything when I installed it. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Enough of that.
Anyway, the sort of things that have been showing up in recent times, of course, ever since the programmable LAN cards came out a couple of years ago, is that you program them up and suddenly they don't work, or you load up the drivers and they're not really finding the card, or they're saying that the resources are being used by something else, and maybe the software drivers aren't really all they're cracked up to be. Now, the sort of things that you can find is actually that, believe it or not, the sequence in which you load your drivers for your various cards in your machine, which are software programmable, can actually be very important. And now here's the typical scenario. Let's say, for example, you've got your super-duper lovable little old PC, you've got all your ingredients in your stockpot of computer bits and pieces, mm-hmm. and they're nice and dependable, everything is working smoothly, you're as happy as a pig in mud. Then you add a little dose of SCSI card, for example, like an Adaptec 1505 or 1510, nothing against Adaptec, very popular, very good, very tried and tested, not a problem there. But suddenly your life can get very miserable. And when you ring up the Adaptec support people, folks, believe me, they will insist, usually, that it is, for example, a sound card problem or the other card's problem, and it's your motherboard problem.
It's your mother's problem.
And your dad's problem for bringing you into this world.
Don't
necessarily ring them, and don't necessarily ring the SCSI card people or whoever, you know, you've just stuck your little old card in. And don't believe in them when they say this. You could actually find it's none of those things. It's just the way it is. Now, what you can find, for example, is this. You load up your ASPI driver for your Adaptec SCSI card, right? You stick it in, you've just added the card, you've run your Easy SCSI, you boot it up, and you do your Control-Alt-Delete, and it runs fine. And you say, beauty, my sound card driver is in, my SCSI driver is in, my CD-ROM is working, life is wonderful. You push reset on the computer, or you turn it on next morning, and lo and behold, yes, it doesn't work anymore. It's had its little throat cut. And you say, but it was working yesterday. I used it and I switched it off and now it doesn't work. Well, what you can find is this, for example, and this is another one of these mysteries. Why do some things work when you do Control-Alt-Delete, and why don't they maybe work when you do a hard reset? And, of course, the first instinctive thing is your support people will usually say, well, it must be a motherboard problem. You've just added a card and it doesn't work anymore. So it's a motherboard problem. It's not resetting the cards properly, which is, of course, what the hardware reset does. It not only restarts your software, but it resets your motherboard, it resets your cards, and it really flushes everything out of them. The problem is this. Driver sequence can be important. And what you can find, for example, when you load up your ASPI driver for your SCSI card, is this. If all your software drivers, if all your cards are software programmable, it can actually go through a whole string of cards, perhaps find a sound card, and say, this is a SCSI card.
Because you've told it the wrong sequence.
That's right. And this might go along and just find the wrong card at the wrong time and misinterpret it, because it's all software programmable. And the cards have usually little things like signatures in them that basically identify what they are. But all this stuff is basically still evolving, and it's really not really all that standardised. Plug and play is going to, well, if you believe it, you can live it, I suppose.
It's like cable modems, isn't it? Plug and play.
Plug and pray.
Anyway,
if you want to be, you must become.
I like that.
So, and then I ate it, and I bit it.
And then I woke up.
And then it was bite into it.
But so the point is basically this. Now, if for example, your SCSI driver suddenly doesn't fire up, don't start blaming people. It could be the sequence of your drivers. Maybe put your sound card driver first and put your SCSI driver later. So that
How
perhaps...
How do you do that?
Just change it around in your config sys. Good question. That's right.
Config.sys.
Or what I exec.
Windows 95, actually, believe it or not, it still depends on config sys and auto exec bat for a lot of things, the same as it always has under DOS. It's quite intriguing. A lot of people actually don't realise that.
No, I thought config.sys and auto exec.bat.
Yeah, it's finished.
See you later. Delete startup.
That was
die.
The big promise. It's finished and Win 95 takes over. But that's a very good point.
It's still there.
It certainly is.
Does Windows 95 get rid of that?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Good.
That
question.
I haven't tried, yeah.
There we go.
But the point with Win95 is actually it's very easy to check that. Just jump to the DOS prompt, go to your root directory, and just have a look at your config sys and auto exec and see if it exists.
Just out of curiosity, Eddie, too, if you are going to go back and look at the DOS level of things, say you're interested in running MemMaker, because you can, you've got a config.sys and auto exec.bat, and you could therefore optimize them. Would there be any point to doing that with Windows 95 operating as well?
You best talk to the Microsoft people, because they'll tell you for sure. But strictly speaking, you shouldn't have to play with any of that, because that is one of the big promises of Windows 95, of course, and also Windows NT. So they should really do the memory managing for you.
Do you know the bit that trips me out the most?
But whether they do or not, I wouldn't like to bet money on it. Yes.
Is, you know, when you install a sound card in Windows 95, how do you know all the IRQs and all that stuff that the games ask you?
And this is, again, what the software programmable part is all about. Now, if you can set up your cards with jumpers, for example, you know what the IRQs are, and you know what the IO locations are. But when they're software programmable, you can get into this problem where it may work and it may not. Now, the trick, actually, and this is the thing about why, for example, a lot of computers might boot with a Control-Alt-Delete, but not a reset, because what can happen is, bear with me here, when you actually run through all your drivers, for example your ASPI driver for your SCSI card might bomb out, but your sound card driver is actually successful because it executes afterwards. So it initializes your sound card for the IO address and interrupt request, and then the second time when you do a Control-Alt-Delete, it doesn't reset the card. So the card is initialized, and the second time when you do Control-Alt-Delete, run through the startup files, it actually then doesn't misinterpret the sound card anymore and fires up the SCSI card correctly.
Fantastic.
I might leave you on that, I think.
Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, there is one other thing I've got to mention. Somebody actually phoned in last week, and all the digital doctor segments, of course, are digitized now, and they're on the net, and you can
what
listen to them.
What is that site?
www.mychronica.com.au, but the question was last week, how the heck do you spell Mychronica? M-Y-C-H chronic or what?
Give it to us.
So M-I-C-R-O-N-I-C-A.
Thank you. Good luck. Good luck. Now before we go, simpler.